Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach R. Scanning coming to you live from North Carolina. And today we want to dive back into our study of possessing our inheritance. And today and the rest of next week, I want to go through and lay a foundation for answering the question of how does the Holy Spirit take us through the process of possessing our inheritance by moving from glory to glory. Yesterday we laid a little foundation, pillar foundation, that through going from glory to glory is how we possess our inheritance. But how does that fundamentally step by step walk out? And Chuck points out through his book of Reordering Our Day of how the Lord showed him through scripture how this takes place. And the first is found in Zechariah 8:12. And we'll talk about this one today and we'll build upon this next week. And Zechariah is talking about here the coming peace and prosperity of Zion after going through its judgment time. And verse 12 says, "For there will be peace for the seed. The vine will yield its fruit, the land will yield its produce, and the heavens will give their due, and I will cause the remnant of this people to inherit all these things." And the key portion here is what heaven will do is the heavens will give their due. So when we look at that phrase within Scripture, it really gives us a clarification of how starting the process of how we go from glory to glory to go about possessing our inheritance. And we've been building upon the day by day, the little by little, the glory by glory, the maturation process as we go through our walk with the Lord. And here it gives us a clear example of this. And Chuck talks about, and I think this sums up this verse of what the Lord's doing, is that he says, "During the night watch, when the dew falls on the earth, vegetation is nourished," and this is interpretation, revelation of understand this, "and grows. Without dew, dryness and desolation can set in greatly, inhabiting the growth process. The same is true of renewal in the Lord," and that's what that glory to glory is. "We are being renewed day by day. This suggests a renovation, restoration, and transformation that is taking place in our hearts and lives." Titus 3:5 says, "According to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Just as dew regenerates and renews the earth, so the Holy Spirit regenerates and renews us. The dew of renewal also brings a complete change of heart," that repentance we build the foundation of when you draw to the Lord, it should lead you to repentance. And he goes on to say, "The dew, though only a fine mist, is often not soft and hard and otherwise barren ground. This is the same concept as the new wineskin softened with oil. The Holy Spirit, God's restorative agent on this earth, can transform and renew through the quiet spiritual soaking of the dew of renewal. He needs only our cooperation through an obedient and submissive relationship with him to soak us afresh with the dew of renewal." And it's really the submission to the Lord on our part, and then the Lord will pour out the dew. It's short, it's not going to last for forever, but it is showing that, hey, you've entered into a new season, and it's time to really look at what it is the Lord, you know, wants you to let go of, and drawing closer and growing in that glory to glory through him that is mentioned throughout the Bible to gain and possess our inheritance. And look, Chuck does a whole book about this. So when we go through this, we're really hitting on the high points here. But this really is hopefully through this, and really through this administration, we can look at the situations arising from the decisions being made by this president, this administration, and leaders, you know, taking us into the quote unquote new world order. We'll get to that here in a second today. And say, okay, is this very fruitful? Does this allow us to possess the inheritance that the Lord, even here in Zechariah, has promised Israel? Will there be that fruit from the vine, the seed, making the seed prosperous? Do these policies allow that to occur? And more so, let's just even look at just the fight for life. Do these policies and the stances that this administration has, are they life-giving? I think we understand that, but this is why we're here. This is why we want to pray and deal with the spirit that is operating in the White House, this rat spirit that's operating in the White House, because it still operates. It's not just one person. Fauci's kind of gone by the wayside, but yet there's still that same spirit operating on a host of other issues. So with that, I want to dive into the news. And build on that foundation of hopefully we can recognize in our drawing back to the Lord of some of these decisions that will choke out what the Lord wants for this nation, which is to be a nation, to spread the gospel of the kingdom to the nations. And it starts with this story out really gearing towards the southern border, and some key things that have kind of gone unnoticed. This is being reported by the Washington Free Beacon. They broke this story how the Biden administration is making it easier and has made it easier for terrorist organizations to enter the United States. Biden administration altered a federal law to make it easier for individuals who have worked with designated terrorist groups to legally enter the United States. The state and homeland security departments last week amended federal immigration laws to allow foreigners who provided insignificant material support, basically coyotes, think of that, who are along the drug route. They're not necessarily the part of the cartel, but they work with the cartel to help bring sex traffickers over, drugs, et cetera, stuff like that. Those similar type of people. To designate terror groups to receive immigration benefits and other status, according to the policy published by the Federal Register, examples of individuals who would fall into the new category, according to the announcement, include individuals who provide humanitarian assistance, or routine commercial transactions to terror groups. People who worked with the Iranian Islamic Revolutionary Guard, Hezbollah, they want to trying to help supposedly vulnerable Afghanis. That's really their only designation. Al-Qaeda. I mean, these are terrorist groups, things that are very alarming that you would even consider the possibility. And the goal here that some speculate is because this move was made before the Biden administration sent quietly a delegation to Qatar, Doha, Qatar, to negotiate, try to renegotiate the Iran nuclear deal. And because this is a way to appease the Iranians, this is very alarming, is the administration will bend over backwards to appease a known terrorist organization who has known sent attacks towards American troops around the world, Israel and Israelis around the world at large, and yet we want to do what they want? This is very, very troubling. And so we want to pray for this and the recent Supreme Court ruling, which I'll get to here in a second, but I just want to highlight here about how we want to repent for the Biden administration's actions to weaken our border security and intercede for a voice with the fear of the Lord to rise up in the White House. Like there is somebody, something inside of me says there's somebody in the White House. I don't know personally, just spiritually, I feel like there's somebody in the White House who's a part of this administration, who sees how disastrous this is, who should speak up. And you know what? If it costs them their job, so be it. They need to realize that, not be fearful of man, understanding that, look, this is causing harm to not only our security, but our economy and the lives of those people who are coming across. I mean, bringing in fentanyl, having little girls be trafficked, little boys be trafficked, and just because of stances being made by this administration. And now you're saying you've known at least 50 terrorists that you've caught at the border, how many unknown, just within the last year. And then now you're saying, hey, yeah, anybody, now you're lowering the designation. So if they do this one act, let's say they've committed a terrorist act, they do this one act, and then now they get to come into the United States. What? Or they lie about their involvement with an organization. And so this is just a disastrous move. Really, really, really alarming. And next, I want to move to some good news, bad news out of the Supreme Court yesterday. So good news, the Supreme Court properly ruled 6-3, the same fallout of the Dodds Mississippi case, that the EPA does not have the authority to regulate basically emissions tests on oil and gas leases. And it was an overstep by the EPA for quite some time that they've been doing this via the Obama administration. Then Trump kind of combated it, and now Biden kind of put some things back into play. But the reason this is very good is because the ruling from John Roberts himself, who wrote the opinion of denying the EPA's authority on this, is that they said, well, you were never given this explicit authority by Congress, and that this should come from Congress. And so this is a good thing. The rule of law stands here. This is a great ruling. And as you know, we talked about how that's one of the requests made from the oil and gas industry, is that, look, why would you have these restrictions on us that are just – they make zero sense, number one. And plus, they're already cleaning – when they pull out because of EPA, because of environmentalists for so long, whenever we pull out, we pull it out cleaner than Russia, Venezuela, and other countries who pull out oil and gas out of the ground. So this is a good step in the right direction for basically pulling back the alphabet soup's government overreach, tyrannical overreach, thinking that they have the right to create laws when Congress did not specifically give them those laws. And this ruling says that unless Congress absolutely specifies directly what you can do, you cannot go outside of that. And that's what the EPA is doing. So that's good news. Bad news is that John Roberts and Kavanaugh joined the three liberal justices in saying that the Biden administration can not enforce Remain in Mexico. And the whole reasoning, part of the reasoning of why they did that, and I want to read this because this is quite alarming. This is from John Roberts' opinion. He said, the lower court imposed a significant burden on the executive's ability to conduct diplomatic relations with Mexico. He goes on to say that it forced the government to the bargaining table with Mexico over a policy that both countries wish to terminate, and asserted the authority to supervise its continuing negotiations with Mexico to ensure that they are conducted in good faith. And basically he's saying here that, well, since both countries just want to go ahead and do this anyway, it doesn't matter how the Biden administration went about trying to remove this policy, just because this is what the countries want. We're just going to go ahead and say, to heck with it. They don't have to follow the law and how they actually do something, which is like baffling. Number one, that John Roberts would say that, but number two, that him and Kavanaugh would vote for that. Again, they're both kind of wishy-washy there, but Samuel Alito's response to this and the dissent was that he said in fiscal year 2021, the Border Patrol reported more than 1.7 million encounters alone with aliens. The legal term for an undocumented person coming across the border is an alien. That's the legal term along the Mexico border. He said, due to those high numbers, Justice Alito wrote, the government lacks the capacity to detain all inadmissible migrants encountered at the border, but rather than return them to Mexico while they awaited proceeding in this country, DHS has concluded that it may forego the option altogether and instead simply release into this country untold numbers of aliens who asylum applicants likely will be denied, he wrote. And so that's from the Wall Street Journal. The reason I wanted to read that is to show the differing opinions on this, is that number one, you know they're most likely going to get denied access because they don't have the standing to come to America legally or illegally. And the fact that Roberts just, they don't have to, because part of this case was is that the Biden administration didn't follow proper legal procedure to get this removed. If you want to get it removed, that's fine. Go through the proper legal procedures. You're in position of power. Just do the right thing. That's part of what they're asking for. And Roberts said, to heck with that. It's like, what? This makes zero sense. And that's why we want to pray for somebody in the White House to rise up and really for the American people to realize how big of an issue this really is, when not only are you removing Remain in Mexico, but you're also lowering the standard of terrorists who can come in this country. Quite alarming from the administration. All right, now we move on to some statements made by the president in regards to the fallout of Roe v. Wade and some updates on a story we talked about yesterday. And Biden has come out and said that he will do everything within his power to try to find a way to allow abortion to some degree in America. And he talks about how he wants to try to suspend the filibuster and nationalize abortion law, which Nancy Pelosi and Democrats have said that's their kind of stance. So he's saying, okay, I'm jumping on board with this of trying to get it done. He's not limiting it to an executive order, but he's also saying I'm going to do everything within my power legally, because he knows he's very limited here at the federal level, thanks to the ruling from the Supreme Court. And what is quite alarming is that yesterday we pointed out that the White House and Health and Human Services released a website, an information on a website called abortionfinder.org, and for helping people figure out how to get access to abortions. Well, Real Clear Politics put out a report because they looked at the website and they went on there and they found directly that this website that our White House is pushing, our Health and Human Services is pushing, and this administration is pushing, that helps minors skirt parental notification and in sometimes state laws of requiring, if an abortion is going to be done, that parents for a minor be notified and be involved and give consent. They go on to talk about how the website also directs minors 15 years or younger to resources for bypassing parental notification laws. The department and our administration of Homeland Security, of Health and Human Services, is directing minors on how to bypass notification laws of each state. So they're telling, hey, not only are we going to allow abortions, but we're going to help you break laws in doing this. This is utter lawlessness. And a report from this shows that some states require people under 18 to involve a parent or guardian when getting an abortion, and a pop-up window on the website announces to minors seeking an abortion, if you need to avoid involving a parent or guardian, contact the If, When, How Judicial Bypass Helpline for information about getting judicial bypass. Like, I'm shocked by this. Shocked, but not so shocked to see where this administration lands. So that's some bad news, and about this is why we want to pray for this issue and continue and understanding that the battle has only just begun. But good news is that we're being reported from Reuters that both Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema have denied and really telling the president, we're not going to end the filibuster. So that kind of ends that there. They need every Democrat plus a couple more Republicans to be able to end the filibuster. This is a big push from Democrats in the House and the Senate to try to remove this and allow God knows what laws from going into place. And something we want to be aware of, but also understand the ramifications of, is that Senate Democrat leader Patrick Leahy, who's 82 years old, broke his hip yesterday or earlier this week, and went into surgery yesterday morning. His office announced he's the oldest sitting member. He's not running for re-election, but he will be in office until really next year as this term ends out, But with him being basically on bed rest from hip surgery, is this might limit the ability for Congress to do something, for the Senate to do something, unless they allow him to remote in. His office is like, well, he's legally blinded one eye, so this was eventually going to catch up to him, is what they're saying. But he'll be back at work soon. I mean, just the limits that they have, or the lack thereof, of allowing somebody to heal from hip surgery, I mean, just shows utter regard for the health and well-being of even a senator, and shows that maybe he might be too old at 82 years old. Thankfully, he's retiring. But know that he's third in line to the president behind Kamala Harris. It's Kamala Harris, Nancy Pelosi, and then him. So it's very interesting to see there. But we want to repent on this issue for the Biden administration for continuing to stand up for the pro-abortion agenda and allowing the advocation of helping minors get around state laws, and intercede for the veil to be removed, not only from this White House, but from this nation and from the church, for them to have the fear of the Lord to stand up for life and deal with this issue and understand that this is just not only standing and being disobedient towards God and allowing child sacrifice, but you're telling a minor and you're saying publicly that we're okay with breaking the law from the office of the president and the White House and the administration itself. It's very sad to see. And other good news on this issue is that the U.S. Supreme Court has tossed certain states' rulings because they allowed bans or prevented bans on abortion from going into effect. That's a better way to put it. In Arkansas, Arizona, and there was another state. But basically what they said is, well, because we overturned Roe, the lower courts need to go back and look at these cases, because your reasoning of understanding of why you blocked the bans on abortion that of those cases in those states and those laws in those states because Roe was in place, you need to now go back and look at that, because that's an improper ruling because of how they ruled on it. So this is great news for Arizona and Arkansas. And in really, this shows that in any other case that was ruled and that used Roe and Casey as precedents, it's going to have to be looked at by the state's courts. And people in these states are very happy about this. Indiana was the other one. People in these states are very happy about this because now they get to go back and remove the idols within those states, even as the prophets of old and kings of old within the Old Testament, within Israel, responded to the Lord to do. So hopefully these courts can rule correctly after the correct decision made by the Supreme Court in overturning and standing for life in each of those states and the other states where Roe was used as a defense and a precedent to allow bans on abortion from not going into effect. Okay, last couple things here, and I want to start winding down before I end on some great, great news, is that we saw the remarks from President Biden about when asked at a NATO meeting about how long Americans are expected to pay hot record gas prices. And his quote was, as long as it takes for Russia to be defeated in Ukraine. And that's quite alarming. You also saw the comments made by and I want to pull this up. There's two videos I want to play. But when again asked this question, one of the administration officials says this.
Sustainable. What do you say to those families who say, listen, we can't afford to pay $4.85 a gallon for months, if not years. This is just not sustainable.
Well, what you heard from the president today was a clear articulation of the stakes. This is about the future of the liberal world order, and we have to stand firm.
We have to stand firm. This is about the future of the liberal world order. What does that even mean? Number one, and I just play that to show the response from the Biden administration. Also, another economic advisor from the president is saying this, and this is quite alarming.
we have opportunities now to transfer to clean energy in a way that grows thousands of jobs. Mm-hmm. We just had a recent report that was put out that's showing all of the energy and the employment stats from last year. Clean energy is winning. Fossil fuels losing jobs. We are gaining them every step of the way.
At what cost? People's lives are being turned upside down because of this agenda. She's happy about it. She's praising it. Yes, fossil fuel companies are losing jobs. Clean energy is gaining jobs. But there's a transition period to where people are gaining jobs to where they have to get skill training. And that's part of a capitalistic system. I get it. But when it's not the industry itself making this move. It's the government forcing it to be made. And understand, she is an economic advisor to the president, and she's happy about this. President Biden campaigned on the fact that he wouldn't do these things, and yet he's doing these things. I point this out because you have reports coming out, and I'm building up to this, so stay with me here for a second, is reports coming out of the first quarter GDP shrank 1.6%, and consumer spending is showing a decrease. And part of it is because there is no government stimulus, and people are shocked by that, mainly the experts, quote unquote. They're shocked that, well, when you pull back government stimulus, we're surprised that the economy shrank. We thought people had the money to be able to survive, blah, blah, blah. But when you have inflation and costs go up and energy costs go up, you shouldn't be surprised by this. Now, not only are experts basically showing they don't understand this, but Powell himself said that, number one, he can't guarantee that as inflation grows, they can tame it and ultimately spare jobs. He also talked about how he's acknowledged, this is partly good, but it's kind of scary, is he says, now we have a better understanding of how little we understand about inflation. And they're talking about how, well, we had a shortage of supply of this, that, and the other, and this was such a shocker. But there were economists out there who you don't want to listen to because you don't like their agenda, who even Obama had on his advisory, economic advisory boards, who are saying because energy cost is climbing and going to continue to climb because of the policy of this administration, you should not be shocked that this is where the economy goes. Now, the GDP numbers for quarter two of this year are expected to come out and really are going to come out at the end of July. So if that happens and they're lower than what they expect, and if they decrease, another decrease for 3 months, you've shown statistically that you are in a recession. That is what a recession is, of two consecutive quarters of a decrease of the economy. We have that. We are in a recession, and the numbers are clearly indicating that that is the case. Why I want to point this out is because, one reason, be prepared for what is potentially to come, knowing that in costs could continue to rise. Trump predicted $7 for gas. In some instances, he may not be wrong. Could go there. Interest rates could go to the 80s of 20%. Would not be a surprise. The way Fed is acting, and the way this administration is acting on energy and a host of other issues. But also, too, cash will be king. The only thing that, well, two things that this really affects is the value of your dollar, number one, but then also if you're using debt to buy something, whether it be consumeristic or business, whatever the case, if you're using debt, it will hurt you. But if you're using cash, you will be fine. Cash is king. Hopefully you're prepared for this. And there will be people who use cash like in the Great Depression who were prepared for this situation. And look, if you don't have that, don't use that to go further into a situation because you feel like you need something, want something. It's a gut check time for people. And part of it is because this administration is making these decisions. And then the Federal Reserve is just like, wow, we're surprised that this really happened. We didn't realize, we didn't understand this. Even though people were screaming from the rooftops that you need to do something 10 years ago. And then when the Biden administration came and did what they did on energy policy, shocker. This happens every time stuff like this happens, but I digress. But we want to, how we want to pray for this and keep our emotions in check is that we want to intercede for our leaders, both Democrat and Republican, to have the fear of the Lord when deciding what to do next and continue to support the original intent of this nation, which is to stand up for freedom and to spread the gospel and to allow the spreading of the gospel of the kingdom to the nations. And I say this is I'm not a fan of the Fed, not a fan of Jerome Powell, the whole system. I mean, the way to fix this is to stop printing money. The way to fix inflation is to stop printing money and go back to the gold standard. How likely that is to happen is very, very slim. I could spend hours on that, but I digress and say that at least Jerome Powell is in there and not somebody else. He's not the best person, but he's better than anybody Biden would have picked, because remember, he's a Trump appointee. Now, lastly, I want to point this out. This is a great story. In the light of the fallout of these companies sending money towards allowing abortion, there's an insurance company who helps with businesses and people, seniors transitioning to Medicare, find insurance. It's a small company out of Southlake, Texas, that is saying it will put money towards people who want to actually birth children, help with paternity and maternity leave, and helping with the cost of adoption. And companies can buy this on, look at policies. They're a small company right now. I looked at them a little bit this morning. But the whole goal, it's a veteran-backed, veteran-run community company. And they came out with a statement the other day, and you could go on their Facebook page and see it. And they said, how Buffer responds to Roe v. Wade. Buffer will pay the medical costs for our employees who birth babies and provide paid time off for employees to have maternity and paternity leave. Buffer will pay for the medical costs associated with adopting a baby. They go on to continue to say, employers, if you'd like to learn how you can provide those benefits to your employees, let us know. We have a ready-to-use policies you can add to your employee handbooks. Hashtag impact, hashtag worth protecting, hashtag be there, hashtag buffer insurance, et cetera, et cetera. This is huge. When you're seeing this, and these are the type of companies you got to look at, make sure that they're doing the proper thing, talk to an insurance agent and stuff like that if you, your company, want to provide this for, or you know something, this might be, you know, you have the authority to make this decision, something to worth considering and looking at. I don't know how far wide and how reaching they actually cover, what states they're involved in, but hey, if you're in Texas, something worth looking at, maybe Louisiana, Alabama, Mississippi, Arkansas, etc. So I wanted to point that out to show that there are companies out there who will do the opposite. Is, you know, we're seeing the list of growing companies who will stand with abortion and provide abortion, but there are also companies out there who will do the opposite. And look, we have the power of the purse. And this is a great decision and something to know. Again, Buffer, I'll put this article out to link them. Buffer Insurance out of Southlake, Texas. Something great to see a company standing up for life in after the fallout of the decision on Roe v. Wade. So blessings. We'll be back again today with our noon prayer online only this week, closing out, and then we will. Hopefully you guys can have a great weekend. Enjoy 4th of July. We will not be here on Monday. It is the 4th of July, so we will be celebrating 4th of July and our Independence Day and all that the Lord has done for us. And hopefully you guys can spend some time with friends, family, and enjoy some fireworks on us as my family is coming here to celebrate our gender reveal of what our next gender of our baby will be. And so we'll post stuff, my wife will, especially online for that, for those who follow and are connected with us there. My parents will as well. So great and exciting news, but we'll be back here today at noon. Thanks for following us, and let's continue to stand on the wall and pray for the office of the president. Blessings, and see you guys later.